The date is December the 3rd of 1982, and this is an interview with Mr. Elmer Woodley and Mr. T.H. Ross. And we're going to be talking about, first of all, about the Central Florida Singing Convention, which they helped organize. And I'll begin with Mr. Woodley and let him tell the story behind how the Central Florida Singing began.
Well, the convention began about 17 years ago. And all these people in Central Florida and South Florida come together and sing, and including Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Tennessee, and helped. We didn't know at the time just what results we was going to get when we made this up. And we was afraid that we wouldn't, we'd make a failure of it. So we got all the people together that we could and made a singing out of it. And we've been singing once a year ever since in a convention.
Now you said there'd been a singing at the church for many years before that.
Yes, even when I was a youngster, my father was a Sacred Harp singer. My whole family, which is includes 7 or 8 people, sang in it. And of course, I only learned when I was 17 years old. That's the first singing school we had here, is when I was 17. So I went to school at that particular time, and I went to 2 singings after the schools after that.
Do you remember who taught the school?
Mr. Hardy taught the first one when I was 17 years old, and Mr. Latner taught the second one. Mm-hmm. And Brother Avery taught the third one. And then I was about, at that particular time, I was around 22 years old, which at that point I married. I got away from it for a while. And then came back and been in it ever since.
Well, I wonder if you'd tell the story about how the convention itself began, because that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, we went, Brother Ross and I went to Carrollton, Georgia to a singing. We was reluctant to go. For the simple reason it was new to us, the place was new to us. Brother Harding, I believe, is the one that got us to go, and he is from South Georgia. So we did. We got up and made plans to go. Got with him in South Georgia and went to Carrollton to singing. So we. In the Denson book is a little bit different to the Cooper book, which we are used to. And when we got to this church there in Carrollton, it was cold. The weather was terrifically cold to us, because we'd been used to 85 degree temperature here, which is about like that now. And I had on a slim suit of clothes. I mean, it wasn't heavy, it was light, like we wear down here most of the time. And I like to have froze. And we enjoyed the singing. It was the best I think we'd ever heard. And we just made it up to, well, why can't we have one like this? So on the way back home from that, we made it up to have a convention in this area.
How hard was it on the church to support a convention?
Well, this is another thing that we didn't have any idea that it would go along. Mm-hmm. You know, in those days, 20 years ago, people didn't have that much money. So we got the people that were interested in the singing to make up or have a clothes sale or cake bake sale or whatever that they could raise money for. One lady, tell a little story here, Mrs. Stevens, she was a good helper in this also. So she went to around and happened to go to the air base one time, and she found a sailor cap and in a garbage can. So she reached over into the garbage can after a sailor hat. She's gonna save it for the rummage sale. So she broke a rib in the garbage can. So that's how intensely we tried to raise money.
Yeah.
See, so we did. We made the money first trip. We made it up at that particular time that we would pay for the first day and night motel room. It didn't cost them anything, which nobody at that particular time did. We were the first one that done it. But in years after that, that they began to do it in Georgia and Alabama, which they don't do anymore. But we still do it here. And so we just kept on working and just had enough fortitude to go ahead with it. And that's how it came about.
Okay, and then financially through the years, you said you've done well.
Oh yeah, we've had, we've never gone in the hole but one time, and that was an incident we don't care to mention.
Okay.
And, but since then, we've had no trouble. We've had no problem.
Well, there are going to be people who will be listening either to this tape or to us, what somebody has written down from it, from what you said. And they probably won't be familiar with Sacred Harp music or our Sacred Harp singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of tell them what your singing is and some of the special features of it, because it does have like the fish fry, for instance, that you have and that is, it is a special singing.
Oh yes, it's special. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to us it's very special.
Well, I'm
right.
Sure.
Well, we furnish, of course, like all singings do, the food, dinner on the ground, as they used to call it. We don't call it that anymore. But we usually furnish them two meals, which is Saturday, this 2 days, it's Saturday at noon, and Sunday at noon. But this way, we have it Saturday noon and fish fry Saturday night, and also food Sunday. And oranges galore. We just, we tickle to death if they get those. And they are good to go out and help us pick them. And I hope they enjoy it.
All right. Let me go to Mr. Ross. We'll put him on the spot and see if he has anything to say. Do you have anything to add about the singing here?
Not particular, only he said that we didn't know whether we'd make it or not when we first started, and I never did doubt. I know we're going to make it. I'm telling you, we didn't start it to fail.
There's, you know, some doubt there,
so,
that you, and not knowing what it's really going to come out at, you know.
Yeah, but
there was some doubt.
I've always been to the believer that if you wanted to do something, that you could do it. If you want to do it bad enough to work at it, you'll do it. I believe that as much as I believe anything. And we certainly have worked at it. And we both enjoy working. I mean, it's no burden on us.
No.
We just love to do it. And if we can do something for you, or and then do a little more something for you, well, we'd be glad to do it while you're here.
Yeah, every year I ask the chairman, I said, every new chairman that comes in, I say, well, now, is there anything else that we can do to make it better? If there is, let us know. We'll do it.
Well, there's one thing that Hugh was telling me about this afternoon. We were mentioning it. There was the lady who bakes the cake, and I wonder if you tell.
Well,
us a bit,
yeah.
About
that. she always bakes a long cake with some song out of the Sacred Harp book, and got the notes in order, and also the words in order, and the first. I think first or second one we had, we went to the table to ask a blessing. And I asked Brother Redding if he'd sing this song that was on the cake. So he did. He keyed it, and we all sang it right on the cake.
What is her name?
Mrs. Wood.
Mrs. Woods.
Mrs. Woods out of Vero Beach.
Fixes mm-hmm. this cake. Well, that is that's certainly a different feature too. You
yeah.
don't find that kind of tradition.
Right.
This is the 17th?
The 17th session.
Okay.
There's one thing that he hadn't mentioned about the way we operated this thing as far as Sherman's is concerned. We ordinarily, well, we'd like to have been a chairman maybe or something like that. You know, most people do. A lot of people like to be chairman. But we didn't want that. Neither one of us wanted that job. So we arrived at getting you from Georgia to chairman, vice chairman from Alabama, or someplace away, you know, away from one another. And expecting them to talk up our singing all year. So this year, we're looking for one of the biggest singers we've ever had. Henry Kerr is our chairman this year, and Mr. Harding from Georgia. Henry is from Alabama. And so Henry Kerr has told every singing, and he's been to all of them, I think. And he's advertised our singing, and I think we're going to pay off for it. I think we're going to have one of the biggest ones we've ever had.
Well, I can testify that everyone I went to, he stood up and announced it.
He had done it. He had done a good job. And this year now, we're going to have a good bunch from Texas. From the last 2 years, I've been to Texas to sing. Wherever I go, I tell them about our singing and try to give them a come. So I think we're going to have about 10 or 12 from Texas this year. And another thing we've done, we had one good old soul that didn't like the didn't like the, she just thought the cover book was all of it, you know. And I wanted to use the Denson book on a Saturday and then on a Sunday, the cover book. And I had a right smart fight, but I got it over pretty good. some of them didn't like it, some of them did like it.
Now, how many years did the singing go on as strictly a Cooper Book singing?
Oh, well, for all
last
these
year.
Years.
Last mm-hmm. year.
Except last year.
Until last year.
Yeah.
Last year was first year.
All right.
And I think that everybody's going to be in a, and in time to come, we're gonna, well, I hope that they'll take both of the books and make one, because there's songs already in each book, same song,
mm-hmm.
different numbers maybe at all, but then I hope one day they'll make one second part book and just combine the best songs out of each book. And I think it'll be much better, and I think younger people will take a part in it. The young people will take a better part in it then. I don't know. I've been singing in the same.
Well, I'm not going to make any remarks here about your age, but I bet you were singing before either the Cooper or the Denson revision came out.
Well, I'm pretty little of an age, all right. I'm 49. Holding.
Well, Mr. Ross, I wonder if you'd tell a little bit about how you got started singing.
Well, it's like Mr. Wooden said, my daddy was a second harp singer.
Now, where did you grow up?
Alabama, South Alabama, Coffee County. And there was eight of us kids. My mother didn't sing, but he taught us to sing and learned us to sing, and we could have one of the best singings, just the family. Sitting around the fire, you know, shelling peanuts or something like that, just to have the best singing, too short. And we enjoyed it, all of us, little kids like that, just enjoyed it. And I've been trying to sing ever since.
Didn't have to look in your book, probably, even to do your singing.
Yeah. Yeah, the first song I ever sung, ever led, was 313, Concord. And I remember just as good as for yesterday.
And how old were you?
I was about 10.
About 10 when you led your first one?
Yeah.
But now you've been to many singings before that? I've
been to quite a few. Yes, sir, before that, and now then, I don't know. We go up in Clayton, Georgia to spend the summer. And I go, not every weekend, but near about every weekend, I go to a convention. I won't go to a one-day singing much, but I go to, but you don't have to, up there, you know, you can pick a two-day singing any weekend you want.
Yeah.
So I try to pick 2 days. And we just enjoy it. We've had the best time. We've been on 5 bus trips, that is, tours, to Sacred Heart Singings. In and around, we went to a Sacred Heart Singing. We've been to Connecticut, Boston, Vermont, Detroit, Pontiac it was. We had singing all around that way and on them trips. And I didn't know that life began at 70. Somebody said it started at 40. Life began at 40. At 70.
Well, Mr. Woodward, where did you grow up?
I grew up here. Been here since 26, over 50 some odd years.
Now you said your father was a Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
So it was in your family
too?
Oh
yes, it was in my family.
Yeah.
You almost have to grow up in this type of singing. A lot of times it gets into people in later years, but most of the times you've got to be grown up in.
It is foreign to many people who've never heard it before.
And that's right.
It does take a lot of learning too.
Yeah. So, he'd get around just like Brother Ross's daddy. Get us around, you know, and sang. There's 10 kids in our family. And he'd get us around and sing at night. Things like that. So it's all my life, in fact.
Yeah. And I can tell from what both of you said, it was an important part of your growing up.
Well, in those days it had to be, because we had no place else to go. It's either go to singing or stay at home, which we didn't want to do. Right.
And my dad used to, he'd work up a singing school. And then he would load his wagon every morning for 5 days in a week. Just as many kids as he could get on it and carry to that singing school.
When did they usually have the singing schools? Was it during the winter?
Summertime. Summer.
During the summertime?
Yeah.
Summertime. Yeah. Summertime. We were all done laying by then, you know, and didn't have nothing to do, practically. So we went to singing school.
Well, let me ask, there's over 500 songs in both the books, so of all of those, is there one that's special to you? Now, I'm not going to say favorite. When I say favorite, nobody can pick a favorite one.
No.
But is there a special story or something behind any one of the songs that comes to your mind?
Well, I can't think of one right now. I mean, I like them all. I don't cull any of them. Well, I'd say I don't cull any of them. There's some that I don't particularly like to sing like I do others, but I will go along with any of them.
What about you, Mr. Ross? Is there any special one for you for any reason?
I kind of got a favorite, yeah. We several years ago, I don't know just how long ago, Millard McGuire got me to sing Gospel Pool. And they seemed like they liked it. Well, ever since then, I've been trying to sing Gospel Pool, a little short song. And I've sang it from here to Vermont, Boston back. And then it only had one verse, you know. And I added another verse. And I sang it not by the time it's wrote down, but by my time. That's the way I like it. And, well, there's nothing strange about it, only when it comes to a bird's eye, you know. I hold it longer than anybody else. And it seemed like it, you know, kind of gets the juice out of it, you know. And I've sang it a lot of times. A lot of times they want me to sing it, but I wouldn't sing it.
You've seen a lot of people, I know, sing Sacred Heart music. Are there any particular ones that you would like to mention as people who've influenced you or you think have really made a contribution over the years to Sacred Harp singing?
I would. A man, Bob Denson. I think he is.
Well, I'll tell you a little story. I said I was raised here, which I was, but I originally, in my early life, come from Tennessee. So, one of the Densons came to our neighborhood, our farm area, and taught a school. I was about 6, 7 years old, I guess. So, in singing, you could see him crying. And a small boy, I wondered what happened. What was he crying about?
Yeah, I wonder what's the matter.
Yeah, well, what happened to him? And I'd go to Daddy, I said, well, what's the matter with him? He's crying. What's the son? He's happy singing.
Well,
and
it's
true. And that got me started to sing. If he can do that. If it makes him do that, I'm going to find out what it's all about.
There's a lot of times that I can't help but to cry.
The words to those songs.
Yeah.
Yes, and the music, the joyful sound, I call it, is the thing to me. The words and the joy of singing and the way it sounds, it just gets to me. That is my religion, really, if you want to know. Yep. Start up.
I've been retired now 12 years, and I made myself a resolution to go to every Sacred Heart singing I could possibly go to, and I pretty near went. I have went when sometimes I'd have to call on the old lady for some money to get back home, you know.
Well, let me ask, did you have any particular teacher, any special person? I know you learned at home, but did you just learn by...
I went to Mr. Harding, too. Mm-hmm. And not at the same time he did.
Now, what was his first name?
I don't know.
What was Mr. Harding's first name? Do you remember?
Really, I can't.
It's been so long, mm-hmm. I've forgotten.
He was from Lake Okeechobee, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot his name.
Mm-hmm.
But
like
that. But he was a swell fella.
Sure was.
Why have you continued to sing Sacred Harp since you've sung it for this long? Is it just a matter of habit?
No, it's not a matter of habit. It's because it's part of my religion. And I love to sing the songs and the words that is written because they talk about the Lord, speak about the Lord, and it's my religion.
What about you, Mr. Ross?
Well, I just can't understand why anybody would profess to be a Christian and hear the words and the music of these old Sacred Harp songs and don't get no extra feeling out of it. I can't understand it. It's for myself. Sometimes I don't know whether I'm standing or sitting.
Well, Sacred Harp singing is special to many people, and those people who never had that experience or never seen it may not be able to understand some of the things we've talked about here in this tape.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But at least we've made the attempt. And I thank you for letting me sit down with you for a few minutes and get this on tape, because this is the Friday of before the singing, and I know you both got busy schedules. You've got to run to the airport.
Yeah, I got to go to the airport right away.
Okay, so we thank you, and the college, we really appreciate you letting us get this on tape.
You're welcome.